Providence Police Chief Hugh Clements joins me in the studio. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with last summer. The data we got shows the police district encompassing the Elmhurst, Smith Hill, and North End neighborhoods were hit with the most crimes in July of last year. That includes a triple homicide, nearly a dozen aggravated assaults, scores of burglaries and robberies. Describe for me what was going on in that district last summer.
Yes, certainly. Last year, we experienced an uptick in violence in District 7, the neighborhoods you just mentioned, including Chad Brown, the PC area, and Charles Street in Wanscook. The most serious crime was the triple homicide, and we did have an increase in gun violence in District 7, as well as the other incidents you touched upon, including robberies.
What do you think was happening that fueled that increase?
Well, there are so many factors that come into play when you experience an uptick in crime, and it could be very simply who's out of jail. And if somebody's been in jail for a couple of years and they want to take one of their disputes back on the street from a year ago, 3 years ago, the issue is the availability of firearms. So when people are prone to violence and they have access to in the availability of firearms, that is our issue.
The summer got off to a violent start, at least three murders, along with a number of shootings, including a double drive-by last month. Chief Clements, what's going on? What's behind this violence?
Well, again, it's the availability of firearms on the street, and that's our constant challenge. It's a constant struggle. It's not only in Providence, Rhode Island. It's in every city across America. In fact, our numbers are pretty consistent with last year. And in fact, over the last 20 years, our numbers have trended downwards. And there are many efforts that we make to increase driving those numbers down. And the most important thing we've done in Providence, we no longer just try to react to problems in that reactive manner. It's now in a proactive manner, and we guide ourselves towards prevention. We try to prevent crime.
Now, in New York City, police dramatically reduced crime by focusing on minor infractions. Sometimes it's called broken windows policing. But they've also caused controversy with their policy of random stops to check for guns. That's called stop and frisk. Now, police say this is effective in getting guns off the street, but it also alienates residents in many of the same neighborhoods that are most needing police protection. What are the Providence police doing? What strategies do you believe are the most effective at reducing violent crime?
In many ways, we almost identically replicate what they've done in New York, and we started the zero tolerance broken windows theory when we reformed the Community Policing Bureau, Community Policing Philosophy. It's not a separate bureau. It's department-wide. We decentralized our department and brought the police department to the community. Instead of being a central traditional police model, we became a decentralized police department. As far as the stop and frisk policy, we do not enact the stop and frisk policy in Providence.
And what about people in the neighborhoods? What kind of cooperation are you getting from residents to help you solve these crimes?
Well, our partnerships in the community are great. I mean, every weekend, almost every single night, you'll see Providence Police at events, community events, church events, cultural events. So it's important to be connected and engaged with the community groups. We are part of the community, and we've learned a long time ago that we can't stop crime by ourselves. We need the help of the community. And in all honesty, we'd like to see some increased activity with our gun tip line. We haven't seen that system utilized to what we think could be a greater benefit.
What would you say to neighbors who, even with an overall decline, are still living with persistent crime of this kind? How are you working to help them?
It's a constant challenge. These are your neighborhoods. You need to pay attention to your surroundings and take control of your neighborhood. And you see something amiss, you see something unusual, and if you see something out of line, call the police department. The more information we have, whether it be a description of an individual, a description of a vehicle, or just a situation that you think requires the attention of the police, then you should call the police.
Now, the closing of the Davy Lopes pool has sparked an outcry from residents who say you need pools to keep kids cool, keep them entertained, keep them off the streets. From your perspective, Chief Clements, what role do pools and other activities play in keeping crime down in urban neighborhoods?
Well, all activities during the summer months are good to keep the young boys and girls and young men and women engaged. And we're involved in many activities with these community groups, including Project Night Vision, which is a program run up in the Chad Brown area, and it's expanded now to District 5, Joslyn.
Finally, Chief Clements, when we see headlines and watch news stories about crime, and particularly violent crime, but really all types of crime, how much do you see as this being an issue related to gang violence?
Not so much gangs like you see in Chicago or L.A., where they're organized and there's a hierarchy and there's a pecking order, but groups and loosely knit factions. Oftentimes they name themselves after a street, after a neighborhood. Now, certainly we have had our issues with certain gangs like the Latin Kings or MS-13, but when they're that organized, we use our resources and their sometimes long investigations that dismantle these groups. Like last year, we had a couple-year investigation into MS-13, and we've pretty much dismantled that organization for now, as well as our, in my time, three large-scale investigations into the Latin Kings, and we dismantled them for long periods of time. But the gangs that, you know, the media may talk about oftentimes in Providence are really groups and very loosely knit. There's really not a hierarchy. They're not very organized. But nonetheless, the issue is young men in the community and their availability with firearms. And if we're all from the same street and we have three guns at our disposal and we see somebody from a rival housing development or a rival street, again, it's a recipe for disaster.
How do you tackle a problem like that when it's not these large organized gangs but these loosely affiliated groups that might be as local as one street?
Again, it's intelligence, it's communication between the respective bureaus within the police department, the patrol bureau providing information to the plainclothes side, and vice versa. When people in the gun task force or the gang unit or detectives are armed with information, it's important that we pass that along to the patrol bureau. And our officers really do a fantastic job of taking firearms off the street. In the last 2 years, there were 134 2 years ago with an arrest and 130 firearms with an arrest last year. This year, up to 62. So that's a lot of firearms taken off the street of this small city. And I can only imagine last year alone, 130 firearms on the street without an apprehension or that gun being taken off the street, what the numbers would be. So it is just a constant challenge of taking these firearms off the street. And I'd say these arrests aren't easy. And again, it's a credit to the men and women of the police department. Most of these arrests, people aren't putting their hands up and saying, okay, you caught me, I have a gun. It's a foot chase. It may be a vehicle chase. It may be a wrestling match. And hopefully it's not shots fired, but certainly could be. It's danger. It's a dangerous situation, and I commend the men and women of the police department.
Well, Providence Police Chief Hugh Clements, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.